Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Bava Basra Kuf Chavtes. We begin five lines off the top of the Amud HaMachalik, Nechasa Val Piv, Riba Le'echad Amit Le'echad V'chulu. In the Mishnah we learned that one may not realign his Yerusha, he can't allocate his Yerusha, his inheritance, in a manner which is inconsistent with the Torah's system. However, says the Mishnah, he can gift, he can bequeath, right? He can write a will, which works like a gift, like a matana. Now let's say he alludes to both terms. I'm giving it to him as a Yerusha, and he adds the term matana as well. Says the Mishnah, it works. The reference to gift, to matana, which legalizes this, you know, the process, that serves to override the reference to Yerusha. We ignore the Yerusha aspect and we treat it like a gift. So whether the Lashon Matana was stated initially or in the middle or the end of his declaration, it makes it effective. Hechidami Matana Batchila, says the Gemara. Let's have an example of starting off with a reference to Matana. Hechidami Be'emtza, what about Matana in the middle? How do you have that? Hechidami Be'saif, what about at the end? Ki Asar Abdimi, Amar Be'echanan, let me illustrate it for you. So he gets up and declares as follows. Tinosein Soda Plainis Lipleini. So this field, this specific property, should be granted as a gift, Lipleini, to that person. V'Yerusha, and he should inherit it. So it went from gift to Yerusha. This is an example of Matana in the beginning. Zuhi Matana Betchil. What about if he said, well, this property should be given Yerusha, he should inherit it. V'Tinosein Lai, and be given to him. So this is an example. Zohi Matana, at the end, Basayf. If he says it like this, Yerusha, Vitenosin Loi, V'Yerusha, so it starts with a reference to Yerusha, and ends with Yerusha, but Matana is in the middle. This is an example of Zohi Matana right in the middle, Be'emtza. So it works. Says the Gemara, this is Rav Dimi, quoting Rabbi Yechon, V'Dav Kabadam Echad V'Sada Achas. It only works if it's to the same recipient, Be'odam Echad. This declaration, this gift slash inheritance, was meant for the same person, V'sada Achas, and it relates to the same property. So he alluded to both terms, Yerusha, Matana, or Matana, Yerusha, whichever way it was, in reference to the same property, in reference to the same recipient. So then we allow it to sort of spread over and we apply the Matana to the entire process. Aval ba'adam echad u'shtei sadis. Let's say both l'shoynes were directed at the same recipient, but he gave him two properties. And the lashon matana was applied to one property, and lashon yerusha to the other property. In this case, you can't connect it into one process. You can't say it's one act of giving. It's two separate acts. One is Yerusha, one is Matan. Or Sada Achas Ushnei Bnei Adam Loi. Or even if it was the same property, but he was splitting it amongst two recipients, and he says, look, here, take half as a Yerusha. And look, take half as a Matana. Two separate individuals, Loi. You can't relate the two. You can't connect the two. So in this case, although he did refer to Matana, you cannot apply it to the entire process. And the Yerusha aspect is ineffective. Doesn't work. So again, this is Rav Dimi quoting Rabbi Yochanan. When do we allow the reference to Matana to overtake the entire process and legalize it? That's only if it was the same property and the same recipient, but otherwise not. Rav Lezer Omer, no. Even if there's only one element of connection, whether it's the same recipient receiving both things or the same property being given even to two people, there's some element of connectivity, then it works. Then we can sort of mix and match and share the Lashaynes and have it work. As long as it's the same recipient, even if he gave him two properties, one he called Yerusha, one he called Matana, or Soda Achas Ushnei Bnei Adam. If it was even two recipients, but it was on the same field, I'm giving half to Reuben as a Maton and half to Shimon as a Yerusha. We treated it all as one and the same process, and it works. Aval b'shtei sodeis u'shnei bnei adam loy. There needs to be one form of connection, but if they're totally disconnected, two separate recipients receiving two separate properties, and one he called a Yerusha, the other one he labeled a Matana, it doesn't work. Okay, so we have two shitas so far. Rav Dimi quoting Rav Yechanan, fully connected only, the same property to the same recipient. Rav Lezer says one element of connectivity, either the same recipient or the same property. Kiyasa Rav and Amar. He quoted, he had a different quote from, perhaps it's from Rabbi Yechanan, right? Because Rabbi was Rabbi Yechanan's Talmud. In any case, when Rabbi came from Eretz Yisrael, he quotes Rabbi Yechanan, there's a Gerus on the side. Oh, in any case, so he had a slightly different version of events. Like this. A fellow got up and declared Tinasein Sode Ploinis Leploini. Okay, this specific property should be given, right? Lashon Matana to Reuben. V'yirash Ploini Sode Ploinis. And Shimon should be Yerush, my second field. Two separate properties, two separate recipients. Still, Rabbi Yechanan Amar Aimer Kana. It works according to Rabbi Yechanan. As long as there was some reference to Matana within the process, it works. Rabbi Lezer Aimer Leikana. According to Rabbi Lezer, it does not work. Although earlier Rabbi Lezer says it does work, here he says it doesn't. So Abaye responded to Ravin. This is making it very difficult for us. It's turning the tables around totally. Only Abaye le Ravin. Abaye turns to Ravin. An chasas lon chada, on one aspect, on one count, you're good. We're okay with it. Like the lashon of noyach. We're calm, we're good. So one thing that you said works, va'at kafas lonchada, but the other thing that you said is very difficult for us to understand. What does he mean? Because he quoted Rabbi Yechanan, who initially we quoted to say it doesn't work, and here it says it does. And we quoted Rabbi Lezer, who initially was quoted as saying it works, and here it says it doesn't. So Bishlam, the Rabbi Lezer, was like kasha, we can fully understand, we can reconcile the two Rabbi Lezers. All depends. If there's any element of connectivity or not. Like kasha, kam ba'adam echad u'shtei sadeis. The initial quote was where there was some sort of connection. For instance, one recipient receiving both properties. Since it's all going to the same address, you can share the Lashon Matana and apply it to the entire process. Kan, but the most recent quote from Rabbi Lezer indicating that it does not work is speaking that it's totally two separate tracks, two separate properties, two separate people. One was a Mashtana, one was a Yerusha. Kan b'shnei bnei adam u'shtei sadeis. So that's good. So again, according to Rabbi Lezer, needs to be one element of connection. In absence of even one element of connection, you have to separate the processes and you can't connect them. You can't benefit from the Lashon Matana that was said to the other person on the other property. Elad Rabbi Yechanan, ad Rabbi Yechanan kashi. But what about Rabbi Yechanan? Because the initial quote, Rav Dimi quotes Rabbi Yechanan to say that unless it's the same property to the same person, it doesn't work. And here we have another quote. Ravin quotes Rabbi Yechanan, a diametrically opposed quote. That even on the other extreme, even it's two separate properties given to two separate people. The Lashon Matana on one helps the other. Kashi says, "Well, you're right. These are two versions in Rabbi Yechanan. Amiroinin, we have two Amiroim, two Talmidim, with respect, Vali, but Rabbi Yechanan, with respect to Rabbi Yechanan's view." So, in conclusion, at this point we have three views, three opinions, regarding utilizing the Lashon Matana and applying it to the entire process. We have one view, which is the initial quote, Rav Dimi Amar Rabbi Yechanan. It only works if it was in reference to one property to one person. Rav Lezer says, one property, two people is okay. Two properties, but it's the same person receiving it, it's okay. We have Ravin quoting Rabbi Yechanan that even two separate properties, one was a Matana, one was a Yerusha, given to two separate people. Since it was done in the same setting, in the same session, there was any reference to matana, we understand that he's trying to give it properly in a way that's effective, a way that works, and we treat the whole thing as a gift, and it works. But Rish Lakish seems to adopt the last view, that even two separate recipients is okay, even two separate properties. However, Rish Lakish has another twist. Lekana, it only works. If he gets up and says, Reuben and Shimon both should inherit one property and another property. So Reuben gets one, Shimon gets the other one. So he started with a reference to inheritance, Yerusha. He proceeded with Matana Shana Satim Lahem. So he sandwiched the Matana reference in the middle before resuming with Yerusha. Shana Satim Matana Vi Yerushum. So he went back and forth. Yerusha, Matana, Yerusha. So since he started with a Lashon Yerusha and ended with a Lashon Yerusha, we assume one applies to Reuben, one applies to Shimon. So likewise, Lashon Matana, stuck in the middle, even though it was only said once, is meant to sort of be applied in both directions to Reuben and to Shimon. So that indicates to us that in fact, the whole thing takes on the status of a Matana. Okay, so this is pretty much like a new twist on the last sheet that was mentioned, that even two recipients receiving two separate fields can work. But Rish Lakish says, provided that it was packaged in this manner. We've looked, so these various views, various sheetas that we have mentioned, really connect to another machlekes. Where we find other Amoraim having the same discussion, culminating in a machlekes, reflective of all these pretty much all these opinions. Amar v'amnuna leishanu aladam echad v'sada achas. When does a lashon matana work if it's incorporated into a process that involves only one person with one field? Aval adam echad shtei sadis sada achas u'ishnei bin adam loy. But if there's any sort of, you know, multiple activity going on, if there's a one person but two fields, or two people in one field, you can mix and match the terminology. Rav Nachman Amar Filu Adam Echadu Shtei Sadis Sada Achas Shnei Bnei Adam. Even if he gave two separate people one field, or two fields to one person, one was as a matana, one as a Yerusha, we can mix and match and it works. Aval Shtei Sadis, but certainly if there are two separate fields given to two separate people, these are two separate distinct processes. One cannot benefit from the other. So the first was like Rabbi Yochanan in the earlier version. Second was Rabbi Lezer. Now comes Rabbi Shesha Samar. He takes it a step further. Afilu shtei sada, he says Shnei Bnei Adam. Even if he promised one field to Reuven as a Yerusha and one field to Shimon as a Matana, since it was in one session, one sitting, we treat the entire thing as a Matana. This is a big chiddush. How do I know this is true? Let me provide a source that it works. The Sanya, we have a brisa. A fellow instructs that a shekel of his assets be given to his children. One shekel. Shekel is a half a sela. Let's call it a half a dollar per week for their allowance. Whether it's a person, you know, on his deathbed or whatever, this is his instruction. But the truth is, they need more to sustain themselves per week. Ru'uyin liten lehem sela. Really, they need a full sela. Did he mean only a shekel? Or did he mean to say, you know, try to be frugal and only give them what they need? Of course, they need more. You give them more. So that's the conclusion we draw. Nois lehem sela, we give them more. We give them a sela. But if he said, vim amar al titnan la shekel, only provide them with a shekel. He was careful. He restricted it. He limited it to a shekel only. Then, we have no choice. Ein Noisnin lahen el shekel, then we can only provide for them a shekel per week. Furthermore, vim amar imesu yirshu acherim tachtein. What if he added something? He says, look, after you know the kids pass away, whatever's left over, the balance of my assets, give it to you know, so and so, you know, a stranger or whatever. So that changes the whole equation, because here it's evident that he wants there to be left over. So he is very specific in the way he instructed the caretakers to provide for the kids. I want there to be some leftovers. I don't want you, consuming the entire estate. Bein she'amar tnu, bein she'amar al titnu. In this case, whether he said give without, you know, the added element of restriction, or whether he said only half a shekel, half a sela, but since he indicated that he wants it to be passed on, the balance to be passed on, ein noisnin lehen al shekel. In this case, certainly we cannot allow ourselves to give them more than a shekel. End of halacha. Asks the Gemara. This is Rav Sheshet speaking. We're going to use this halacha as proof that a loshen matana to one party works for the other one. But look at this case. He started by saying, give my kids. That's a matana. Then he says, the leftover, I want it to be provided as a yerusha to somebody else. So here he shared the two terms. He made reference to matana. He initiated it with matana to the kids, and then yerusha to the other fellow. And it works. How could a person rearrange the Yerusha system? Give Yerusha to a stranger? Oh, because there was an element of Matana there, which allows us to treat the whole process as a Matana. But one second, two separate individuals. Kids are Matana, the stranger is Yerusha. Two separate properties, two separate assets. The kids are getting X amount, and the rest is going to the other person. Two separate entities. Apparently it works, says Rav Sheshet. This is my raya, that it works. Take a look, a close look at this case. We're talking about two separate assets, two separate recipients as well. No connection whatsoever. And the Mishnah says that it works. Well, so it's a kash on the other opinions who say that it doesn't. When the two separate tracks, who Moisiv lo? So Older Rav Sheshet was the one who asked this kasha. In true Amoraic Gemara fashion, he came and he, in a show of honesty and integrity, he came and he answered it on behalf of the other Shitas. So although it supported his view, but he came to the rescue and he came to defend the other opinions, he came and he answered the question. You know why it would work in this case? Perhaps that stranger who he has in mind isn't really a stranger at all. It's a close relative who's an eligible Yerush, although he's not one of the kids. But he's a brother, an uncle. In which case, even if he promised him the assets as a Yerusha, it works, because he's not a stranger. And that's going like the Shita of Rabbi Yechonon Breikahi, who holds that one can redirect assets and Yerusha to a relative, who is a potential Yerush, although he's further down the line. He's not really entitled at this point when there are kids around, but since he's technically a Yerush, he can benefit from the Yerusha if the Yerush instructs as such. So this is an exceptional case, and even Moshin Yerusha would work. So it's unrelated to our discussion. We're looking for a matana to work. Amar Ashi Tashma. Let me bring another raya to our discussion. So he says, look, I'm giving you everything I own, Mr. Reuben, and when you're done, when you pass away, the rest goes to Shimon, another person. And after that person, Yerush Pliny goes to Levi. So he's made sort of a chain system, a chain arrangement. My assets go from this person to that person to the other person. Meis Rishon, Kana Shem. So the person passed away, and then Reuben got it, and Reuben passed away, so then Shimon gets it. Meis Sheni, Kana Shlishi. When Shimon passes away, it gets forwarded to Levi. Now, Meis Sheni B'chai Rishon. If Shimon should pass away during Reuben's lifetime, so it never really got to Shimon, so that link in the chain got disconnected. So the system gets aborted, right? So instead of moving on to Levi, it goes back to the benefactor's children, because the system became aborted, right? The process was halted. So it goes back to who is eligible, the original benefactor's eligible heirs. Back to the same question. How could he do this thing altogether? Look, he started with a matana. He started by saying, I'm giving you everything as a matana, right? He didn't say Yerusha to the first person, to Reuben. So Reuben is a recipient of a matana. And then, Acharecha Yirash Pliny. And then, Acharecha Yirash Pliny. So he's joining together matana with Yerusha, but they're two separate recipients, two separate entities. V'acha. Let's take a close look at this case. We're speaking about unrelated recipients, unrelated properties. Because, even though it's the same asset, but the fact is, Shimon will only get what Reuven leaves behind, and Levi likewise. So it's sort of two separate, disconnected things. Oktani dekana, the mission says it works. So that proves our point. Perhaps we can resolve it by suggesting, just as before, that we're speaking about a person with an eligible heir, and therefore you can do this. It doesn't need the matana. Yerusha itself would work. Well, that doesn't work in this case. Because if so, if Shimon was an eligible Yerush, then the Mishnah wouldn't tell us. The Braisa wouldn't tell us that when Shimon dies, the assets go to Levi. It wouldn't work, because if Shimon is an eligible Yerush, it would go to his own kids. It would stop dead in his tracks, mind the pot. It would go straight to his kids. If he's a stranger, he's just getting a matana, okay, so it's a temporary matana as long as he's alive, otherwise it goes on to the next person. But if he's a Yerush, once he gets his hands on it, that's it. It stays in the family. It goes to his own descendants. It never gets forwarded to Levi. If Shimon dies, Kana Shalishi, why would the Bryce indicate that Levi gets it after Shimon's passing? It's incorrect. Hashalacha Rav Achya, Breder Rav Avya, he sent a halacha, that lo divrei Rav Yechon Breker, according to Rav Yechon Breker, even though we allow you to redirect your assets to a person who's an eligible heir, but once it gets to him, it's done. It stays by him and his family. Nuchas Halach, Achrecha Lid Leplaini, I'm giving everything to you, and afterwards to the next person, Virishen Royal Yarishen, the first fellow is a eligible Yeresh, Ein L'Sheni V'Mokim Rishen Klum, Shimon has no access to those assets anymore. She'ein Zalashin Matana, Lashin Yerusha. Because when it's granted to a Yerush, it's treated like a Matana, like a Yerusha, like a Yerusha. Yerusha ain't lahafsik. Yerusha is his and his family's forever. That's it. It doesn't move on to the next person. And the fact that the Brice indicates that it does move on, apparently, we're not speaking about a royal Yerusha and we're working with the Yerusha track, rather, it's a Matana track. What do you mean? But he didn't say Matana, only to the first one. He didn't speak about Matana past the first one, apparently. Once he alluded to Matana anywhere in the system, it sort of spreads out and applies to the entire system, even though two separate recipients, even though it's two separate assets. That's the writer of Sheshes and Akasha and all the other opinions who say that it doesn't work. Tiyufta de kula tiyufta. Nu, leima nami tiyav tiyuf de Resh Lakish. So perhaps it's going to be Akasha on Resh Lakish as well. Shlokesh was the one who told us that, yeah, it can work even if it's two separate recipients, but provided that it's sort of, the declaration was said in a very specific way and wrapped, sandwiched in between the two Lashonis of Yerusha, that's what he put in the Lashon Matana. So perhaps this Braisa will not be in line with Resh Lakish either, because this Braisa indicates that it works irrespective of, packaging it in a certain way. So as Digmar V'tisper, how can you suggest as such? Va'amar Rava Hilchasa Kavaseidu Resh Lakish Vanitlas. That Rava tells us that we paskin like Resh Lakish in these three things. One of them is our sugya. So how could we say Resh Lakish was refuted? So as Digmar, you know what? The Braisa speaking about a slightly different scenario which would be consistent with Resh Lakish, which wouldn't require Resh Lakish's, dictates. Likash, kam b'tech k'dei dibur, kam l'acha k'dei dibur. Bryce is speaking where he made this declaration in one, sort of one breath. Tech k'dei dibur, within the time that it takes to offer a greeting, right? You turn to the Rebbe, you say, Shalom Alecha, Shalom Alecha Rebbe, right? So that's, 2-3 seconds. And if there isn't much of a spacing of a gap between one part of the sentence and the other, then it's all considered one sort of one breath, one continuous sentence. In which case, Eloshin Matana, anywhere in that sentence, anywhere in that discussion, applies itself to the entire process and it works. That's the context of this price. Whereas Resh Lakish, who gave very specific requirements, very specific guidelines that it has to be sandwiched in between these words and those words, is speaking where it wasn't said in the same breath, so to speak. He said one thing, then he said the added, then right? Kan lacha k'dei dibur. So there, we have more requirements for us to consider one bundle, one package. It has to be said a very specific way. V'ilchasan, that's the halacha kol, teke de dibur, ke dibur domi, anything that occurs within this short span is considered one continuous sentence. So basically, it's not considered a retraction. If you say one thing, a second later you go back on it, it's not a retraction. It has never really concluded properly. You need to give a person a couple of seconds just to, settle himself down and to, confirm what he had in mind. So if he just retracts and he modifies within a very short time, we allow for that. Lavar, we have two exceptions. From the Rashbam, it would appear that it's midrabbanan. These are chumrays that we don't allow any changes, any modifications. Once you said it, you're committed. Lavar mavedis kechavim. Rashbam says that a person dedicated something to the Avodah Zarah, and then he changes his mind, doesn't matter, it becomes Asr, because we're Machmer, we're very strict when it comes to Avodah Zarah, Shakit to Shaktenu, right? Go all out to reject Avodah Zarah. And one more thing is Kiddushin, the Kiddushin. Engaged in Isha, he's Mekadosh in Isha. Then he said, oh no, I'm changing my mind, even if it's within 2 seconds. Tekel Edivar, he has to issue a get. Rashbam says, again, it's a Chumra v'drabbanan, lest people get confused and, erroneously conclude that you can just ignore a kiddushin. Therefore, we're machmer, and he has to address his kiddushin and undo it if he wishes to. Okay, so basically, it was one topic daf today. The Mishnah says typically we don't realign Yerusha, but if there is a matana element involved that works, we have several opinions in terms of how effective the matana element can be. Is it specific to a case when it's pertaining to the same field and the same recipient as the Yerusha, or even one element of connectivity is enough, or even no element of connectivity is enough, is also fine. So basically, 3 shittas, and we actually brought a raya. Finally, we had a raya that even in that case it works. But as the Gemara says, it has to be tekel dibur, otherwise, you have to package it in the way Rish Lakish told us to do so. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabbah.